Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, and I am recording on July 3rd. And I'm recording at 7:19 in very sunny London. And I'm recording this early, 7:19 p.m., I should say, because Wall Street is closed for their 4th of July holiday, so I'll get my wishes for a very happy 4th of July holiday to all of our American subscribers. Now, I'm going to do this in two sections. First, the quickie one for the people who want the short summary overall. So here goes. First, we are in a global stock market corrective phase. We've been in this really since it started in May. And one of the reasons this is occurring is because the May through October period, you've heard the old adage, sell in May and go away. Well, statistically, May through October underperforms on average in stock markets, while statistically, the November through April period deals with far better gains on average over the years. And we're certainly underperforming here right now. So we've seen a number of corrections. Some of them have gone over that 20% level, which is at one technical indication of a bear market, but 20% corrections are pretty frequent, so I don't take that all too seriously. But the key point is it's not over. We have probably seen most of this correction because of the size of some of the reactions that have actually occurred. We also know that there's a special factor here that is weighing heavily on sentiment. And that's the Greek situation, which I'm tired of talking about, but not nearly so much as you're probably tired of hearing about it. But it is still an important factor here in the short to medium term, and it's got the referendum on Sunday. And we will know the result on Monday. And as I've said before, a yes vote would hopefully replace the current government, because they would resign, hopefully. Then I think that the EU would move fairly quickly to provide liquidity to keep the banks open and try to work out a deal. And there would be a temporary interim government and then elections before much longer. So that's the yes vote, and of course the polls are just about well, they're in a statistical tie right now. And the no vote, that used to mean that Greece would be pulling out of the euro and would not be getting any further support from the European Central Bank. But the trouble with all these EU negotiations is that there's so many people involved that the views and the rules and the barriers keep getting moved and so on. And this is happening here today, and no doubt will continue over the next 2 days as well. So really, in terms of the outcome, it just depends not only on the Greek election, but how much do the EU leaders who are dealing in this, how much do they want to keep Greece within the EU? We know they do, but how much are they willing to pay for it, to put it crudely? And that's what it's all going to boil down here. But my view is you get a yes vote, and that's going to be a little better for stock markets. You get a no vote, and that will be a little worse for stock markets in the short term. But that will create a more oversold condition, and then I think we will get a reasonable rally not too long thereafter. Now, other factors that are worrying people and been worrying people all along, of course, is the slow rate of global GDP growth. China's current weakness, creating a lot of uncertainty there. So there are plenty of worries that people can point to. The U.S. economy is not performing as people had hoped. The U.S. indices have lost all of their uptrend consistencies that they were seeing previously. I've got to expand on that so I don't mislead you, but transport and utilities have been underperforming now for several months. There are reasons for that, but they're not reasons that are bullish in terms of U.S. GDP. There are also concerns about the prospect for rising government bond yields. So a lot of factors here to be worrying about. And I should also mention that the Russell 2000, which had confirmed the uptrend just over 2 weeks ago, reaffirmed its uptrend, has fallen back subsequently. It's still above its rising 200-day moving average, as is the NASDAQ Composite Index. The Dow is right on it. So, we can't all fall over in surprise, or shouldn't all fall over in surprise, if the U.S. gets its long overdue 10%, 10% correction. Okay, now let's go back to the European Pacific region. There are three stock markets that I think really do merit your overall interest more than the others. And those are India, which has completed its correction in my opinion. And I expect a continuation of a somewhat volatile bull market while Narendra Modi remains in charge. There is Japan, the developed market, which is in a secular bull market, in my opinion, overall. And so that could go on for a number of more years. And that shouldn't be all that surprising because, one, they're doing the right things now, and two, they had that big secular bear market. And once that finally ended, having caused a considerable amount of damage and loss of confidence, then you gradually get the restorative measures and steps and so on. And people talk endlessly about Japan's population decline, but remember, they're one of the top nations in terms of robotics, and that's going to be certainly a big theme going forward. More on that later. Vietnam, among developing, beg your pardon, among frontier markets, interesting prospect. It's an attractive region, a lot of coastline, could be popular, very popular with tourists. The country should have reasonably good growth potential overall, and doesn't seem to have too many interior problems. But I'll move on now to the European markets, and I would say that. Well, first, I should really mention Australia, which is under pressure here because of the resources, the depressed coal price, the depressed iron ore price, the depressed prices for pretty well all of the industrial resources that they actually produce. And some slowing in demand, obviously coming from China. That problem is partly partially offset by the technological advantages which enable the big miners, some of those big Australian miners such as BHP and Rio Tinto, to produce more effectively. But you know what their share prices look like. They remain weak overall. And so, just as a summary, the resources sector of the Australian economy is going through a long sustained fallow period here, and that's not has yet to end. I'll put it that way. Although these metal prices are so low, and these shares are so bombed out that I do think that there is recovery potential over the next few years, But the problem here in the short term is a choppy environment, corrective phase, as I've already mentioned, underway, and it's going to continue for a while longer. I don't think it's going to be a major disaster for stock markets overall. I think where valuations have improved, that one can nibble on the downside for these moves. I don't expect a big bear market, in other words. Why not? Well, because interest rates are extremely low, inflation is extremely low, so the stimulative moves from central banks will continue, and these are led right now by Japan and also the European Union and also China. And when I was talking about the Asia Pacific region, I didn't mention China, which is in a slowdown phase here overall. It's a difficult market to analyze, but here we're talking about the world's second largest economy and on its way to becoming the world's largest economy overall. I think that merits an investment position, that factor alone, for long-term global investors. Now, I've discussed the European situation. Wall Street said, "Don't be surprised if we get that 10% correction overall." Now, this somewhat choppy period that we are seeing, this could continue for, well, 2, 3 years, not least because we will also be getting the normalization, I believe, of U.S. monetary policy. In other words, short-term rates are likely to move upwards, probably starting in September and again in December. And I think that that creates some uncertainty. It'll create somewhat of a choppy environment overall, but no secular bear market. As a matter of fact, looking beyond that normalization of interest rates, and also I would be expecting over that next 2, 3 year period an improvement in global GDP growth, so the US won't be the only country going through at least a partial normalization of monetary policy. And I think that once we get through some of the uncertainties involved with this adjustment, that the investment door will be wide open to the secular bull market that I've talked about for a number of years. I don't need to dwell on that too much, but that will be led by technological innovation and also cheaper energy prices than we saw during the last decade, for sure. Okay, what about long-dated government bonds? I maintain that the secular bull market is over, that therefore we are in the very early stages of a secular bear market in those government bonds, although yields will not move up anywhere near as far as they fell from those high levels in around 1980, 81, 80, 80, 82. But I regard government bonds, and I don't like any bonds per se here, as risky investments, and they have a reputation as being safe investments overall. And a lot of that is due to the 35-year plus secular bull market that actually occurred. Well, if we're going to get stronger growth, over the not only over the next 2 to 3 years, but over the longer term, and I believe we will, and then those bond yields are certainly going to move higher. That makes investment positions in that in the government bond markets are risky, again, a risky proposition for investors. I would not have any of them. Have high yielding autonomies if you need the yield, and there are plenty of those, and they'll do much better in my opinion. I don't think the bond market will create a real problem for stock markets until we see, for instance, US Treasuries getting up above the 5% level. We're obviously a long way off from that in here today. Well, the market's closed today, but yesterday 2.386 on the 10-year, on the US 10-year. I think the rise in bonds will it may create some uncertainty, but it'll not really be a problem. And I think that's let's see what else to mention in here. This has taken longer than I had intended it to. I would just add that in terms of currencies here, that dollar strength is the last thing that the Fed wants right now. The Fed wants to get a couple of interest rate, quarter point interest rate hikes out of the way over the next well, over the remainder of the year. And if the dollar index were to push much higher, and it's trading here today at just a fraction above 96, so a little lower, but not low enough for the Fed to be to be comfortable about this current level. And commodities, I've already mentioned, extremely depressed in the industrial sector. They need the stronger growth. And they can stay depressed, prices can stay depressed for longer because of the efficiency with which industrial commodities are produced, thanks to technology. The agricultural sector, there are some concerns here. We have seen, well, we've enjoyed 2 consecutive years up until 2015, 2013 and 2014. Were pretty good years overall. There were exceptions, but on average for agricultural prices, particularly in terms of the staple grains and beans, this year looks a little bit more tricky here so far. And starting with very wet weather in the United States growing regions. And China is experiencing much of the same, and there are risks that we then get later plantings, and if you get heat waves coming through, and there are a number of El Niño forecasts for that, then that can cause problems. And Europe is certainly going through a heat wave here at the moment. So there are risks there. And I think the chances are we're more likely than not to see going to see higher food prices during the second half of of the year. I think now I'll just go back and review some of the earlier points in just a little bit more detail here. The stock market scene, in terms of what's likely to do best overall, is something that's of interest to all of us. I've tended to talk about it on a regional basis for the most part in these broadcasts, but the sectors that have really been performing have been technology, and particularly biotechnology. Now, those are still in form, but biotechnology needs to be watched very, very closely, because when you get as powerful a bull market and as big a rise in valuations as we're actually seeing, that does create the conditions for bigger shakeouts in the future. But this is not like the late 19, sorry, the end of the last century, and then it's not in like the 1998, 99, 2000 period where we had that huge technology bubble, which was based on hopes and hot air. But not so much on products. And in terms of Technology today, well, it's much more developed. You've seen all the industrial technological progress. We have also seen a great deal of progress in healthcare sectors and in biotechnology, that they are at a stage now where secular bull markets really do beckon in most areas of technology. But when you get very overextended, that will result in some pretty dramatic setbacks overall. But I think that the point I'm trying to make is that these sectors, I think, will have a lot of long-term potential for investors. So just be a little careful about some of the moves that become a little bit euphoric in the sector. And when you get a shakeout, that's probably an opportunity in any of the viable leading companies in the sector to that creates entry opportunities in addition to what you positions you might already have. I think that the resources sector harder to evaluate at this time because of the technological developments, which have made mining and also oil production, fracking, and so on, have made that so much more efficient. That's good news for consumers. In turn, means lower costs overall. It is a huge achievement that is very good for the overall global economy. But I'm thinking about the timing of moves in that sector, relating it to other markets. For instance, the commodity sector, particularly the industrial commodity sector, has always been a terrific late indicator that bull markets were getting overextended and were becoming quite vulnerable to at least cyclical bear markets. That has not happened yet, obviously. And I think that's a reassuring indicator in all probability, but the technological differences are so great that I can't be as certain about that as I have been in other times. But clearly, we don't have any rapidly rising commodity prices at this stage. We do not have in the industrial sector, we do not have any surging miners or oil producers, and we're unlikely to for quite some time. That makes me more optimistic that we will not be seeing the type of tightening from central banks to deal with overheating economies, because overheating economies, that's the last situation that we have here right now, or that's the least likely situation that we have here right now. The economies are struggling to increase their global GDP growth. Corporations are doing much better, you will have noticed, because they are the major beneficiaries of all the technologies that are being that are not only available but continue to be developed. Okay, I think that's covered, I trust, the main points on these markets for you. And I would just again wish you a terrific weekend. And well, we'll see what kind of drama Monday presents us with, not least in terms of that Greek election. All the best.